Welcome to the Cloquet Vineyard. To find out more of who we are, go to cloquetvineyard.org. Thanks for listening and have a good and beautiful day.
So, Chris kicked off a series last week talking all about tithing and money and giving. So if you were here last week for that, thank you so much for showing up again this week. I know that sometimes we hear about money, we hear about tithing, and we're like, ugh, we don't want to talk about it. We don't want to be in the same space where we talk about finances and things. I know even last week, Chris texted me a couple weeks ago, we had put all my next preaching dates on the calendar, so I started dreaming about what I wanted to talk about and these different topics and things. And then Chris texted me last week and said, hey, do you actually want to preach on this series? And my initial reaction was put the phone down, take a couple deep breaths. Not really, but what does God have for us in this? And I really started to think about it, and I think Chris did a great job at talking about this last week. So if you weren't here, I would invite you to go back and listen to the podcast. But really, I truly believe, and it's one of my favorite Bible verses and favorite things that I meditate on, is that God came to bring us into really full and really real and beautiful lives. And so when we think about something that's really real in my life and every one of your lives is money. Whether that's like physical cash that we have in our wallet or something that we spend a lot of time thinking about or maybe like up at night thinking about, maybe some anxiety. We spend a lot of time chasing money, right, in different ways. And so while I hope that Jesus is a really real part of my life, I also know that money is a really real part of my life. So in order to live in that fullness, in order to live in the realness of the life that I think God invites us to, then that means it's good to talk about real things, right? And so instead of this threat of like, oh my gosh, we're talking about money, I started to think about, well, what goodness does God have for us in this conversation? So I want to say before we get too far into this, wherever you walk in today when it deals with finances or giving or tithing, whether that's a maybe negative experience you've had in the past or maybe it's some anxiety that you walk in with here today or maybe some apathy of like, yeah, I don't know, I make money, I spend money, it's just kind of there. Wherever you guys walk in today, I think God is a big fan of us bringing our full and real selves to him. And so I invite you to just like sit where you're at, but also engage a little bit and ask God what goodness he has for you and for us this morning in that sense. So I will tell you right away, my ultimate goal is that we all leave here encouraged today. So that's my hope, that's my goal. And in order to get there, we're gonna start with a pretty unencouraging story from my childhood, actually. So I brought a little prop today. I don't know if some of you can see this. This ear is a little baggy, it's pretty crinkled, it's got some cool beads in it, and up here it's pretty worn down because it's about probably 12 years old. You can see really cool block letters that say KMM. So the reason that I brought this prop is because growing up, my family had a plethora of craft supplies. I think my mom like wanted to foster creativity, you know, and keep me and my sisters busy. So we had this storage closet that was just full of all of these different beads and painting supplies and craft things. And even though we had all of these craft supplies, like never ending, it was like always what we were getting for gifts, for birthdays and things, we had all of these supplies, and every time we would like get something new or sit down to do a craft, I would pick out all of the coolest, best things, and I would label them, I'd put them in a box that had my initials on it, or I would put them in like a cup and fold it over, right, with my name on it, or I'd put like a little baggie like this, put my name on it. So kind of weird, right? We have like this overflowing amount of craft supplies, yet I feel the need to like pick out the best and like label them and just like put them away. I didn't like do anything special with them. You can still go to my house and find plenty of these little things. I literally went there this week and I'm like looking through it and it took me 2 minutes to find this thing. You can go to my house and find all of my like labeled and safe things tucked away. And so what I came to the conclusion of as a young child, even though I had all of these things, my worldview was that the world is scarce, and if I want the good stuff, I have to keep it safe, and I have to label it, and I have to tuck it away. And really, instead of fostering like generosity in my life, what that told me was keep the good stuff safe and don't be generous, basically. And I wish I could say, like, in my mature adult life, I have grown out of this operation of scarcity. But I was thinking this week about where I see this still come up in my life, even though I'm not doing crafts much anymore. And the first thing I started thinking about was my morning coffee. So, like many of you, I wake up in the morning a little groggy, I need my coffee, and after my first cup, I like start the countdown for like, when should I brew my next cup of coffee that I can get maximum boost of energy, not get shaky, not drink an absurd amount of coffee all day, and not cut into my sleep, right? Because sleep is important too. So I wake up thinking right away in the day, like, my energy supply is not enough. So I need to plan out my coffee, I need to plan out my energy, and I need to do so in a way that's like going to be most efficient. I also realized I did this with people. So in my life, I have a lot of people, right? I have my family, my friends, my boyfriend, my staff, our students, and like those random people you run into, right, in the grocery line. And I have this belief in my mind that like everybody simply can't get my best. So I got to plan it out in the day. Like, who am I going to see? Who am I going to give my best to? Who's going to get my love? Who's going to get my time, energy, and attention? Because if I try to do it all, then I'm going to run out and there won't be enough left over for that person that cuts me off in traffic or does something and they're not going to get my happy self. Another way that I have seen that I do this is with my chores. I love to like just check out and watch some Netflix sometimes, right? It's like my rest time, but there's not enough time in the day to like be productive and get a lot of rest time in. So I have found that when I'm doing my chores, my laundry or my dishes or things that are kind of like the easy mindless things, I'm listening to podcasts or I'm watching Netflix. I'm trying to like get my maximum amount of things done at the like small amount of hours that I feel there is in the day, right? So I'm operating out of this idea of like there's not enough time, so I just have to line up all these things and just make the best of it. Scarcity, I think, is a very real thing that we experience. Hopefully, I'm not the only one. Maybe you guys also operate out of belief that, or maybe the really real pinch that there's not enough money in the bank account, that there's not enough food on the table, or maybe we're constantly plagued or weighed down by this idea that I don't have enough friends, I don't have a good enough job, I don't have enough time to accomplish all the things that I want, I don't have enough will at the end of my day to still get to the gym and do something good with my body. I think that scarcity is a super real part of our life, but I also want to challenge us today to think about the fact that as Christians, we are also not strangers to abundance. That the world that we've grown up in tells us, do more, get more, keep the good things safe. But I also believe that when we meet Jesus and interact with like the real living God, that he shakes up a lot of beliefs and things in our lives. And I think that this belief in scarcity is one of those things that Jesus came to radically shake up and shift. That when we know God and we believe in who he is, when we experience him and his goodness, that we can shift ourselves from this point of scarcity and keeping things close, and we can actually open ourselves up and wonder about, what if God actually is really good? What if God's love actually doesn't run out? What if his provision and his goodness and the things that he's working in the world are actually in this process of coming to completion, and that he's so in control and he's so in charge of that, and that his goodness abounds, even in the hard stuff in our lives, the places that we feel the pinch of scarcity. So, if we really believe who God is, and we start looking for abundance in our lives, I was kind of meditating on this week, and thinking, where have I seen abundance in my life? And I was reminded of this story of a time that I was on a missions trip. And in the middle of the week, I was in high school, in the middle of the week, we had this crazy, like, cool experience with this stranger that we met, basically. He was walking down the street, and he actually came up to us and just started asking us what we were doing in the area and started talking to us about his life. And through that experience, we felt like we saw God do some really cool things in his mind and in his heart. We got to pray for him, and it was just overall this really powerful experience. And at the end of the day, we're debriefing about it, we're talking to our leaders, and I made some comment like, this week couldn't get any better, or I don't see how anything we do this week could top that, you know? And she looked at me, and she valued my comment about my excitement and all the good stuff that was happening, but she also called me out, and she said, don't ever tell God when he's done. If we believe in a God of abundance, if we believe in a God of goodness, then continue to look for what he's doing this week. Continue to ask him to show up, and don't expect that this is where we cut it off this week. Continue to look for God's abundance. I've also seen abundance, I feel like, in the last year. One of my friends who was told that she would never have kids had her first baby. That's abundance, right? God showing up and providing in their family. I see abundance in the fact that the birds are out chirping in the trees and that there's like plenty of life and things coming in the sunlight outside. Or maybe it's even just in the abundance of heaven, right? When we dream or wonder about heaven, we think about it's a place where all good things come and where there's no bad things and there's just this plethora of good things forever and ever and ever and ever, right? Maybe that's abundance. I found a quote from Richard Rohr, who is a priest and a spiritual author that's kind of rocking the world right now. And he says, only a personal experience of unconditional, unearned, and infinite love and forgiveness can move you from the normal worldview of scarcity to the divine world of infinite abundance. That's when the doors of mercy blow wide open. That's when we begin to understand the scale-breaking nature of grace. So we live in a place where we are taught things from a young age, right? Like, keep your things close. And then God enters our life and shows us that maybe it's okay to like let things go a little bit, and that in that he will bring life. But what this comes down to is an actual experience with the living God, right? Richard is saying we aren't just naturally free people. We aren't just naturally abundant people. But when we experience God and his goodness and his abundance and his grace and mercy, that's when we can start to like let our arms down a little bit and maybe like live in freedom and move in abundance a little bit. But what we believe about God actually matters, because that's the way that we're going to live our lives, right? When I was younger and I believed in scarcity, that led me to live and move in scarcity and keep my things close. But I truly believe that we are called, like we prayed over our seniors, we are called to be image bearers of God. We are called to reflect God in his goodness, to take different character traits that we know of him and bring them actually into our real living spaces, our homes, our workplaces, our schools. And so I believe that this idea of abundance, this idea of freedom, that when we live in that, when we live in a way of trusting and provision, when we live in a way of generosity, that we are living our full lives as we're intended to, but we're also living in a way that reflects God's goodness to everybody around us. So how do we actually do that then, right? It's easy to talk about. It's easy to dream about a land where food doesn't run out and where money is abundant and money doesn't matter, or we have awesome energy and just immense love and grace and patience for people. We can dream about it, but then what? So I'm going to pray for us, because I believe that God actually like transforms us when we pray, when we come to him. And then we're going to look at a story from the Bible and see if we can learn maybe a few practical tips to move into this life of abundance. So if you want to pray with me, that would be super great. So God, we just thank you for this opportunity to meet. And God, I thank you that you came and you lived and moved and experienced the really hard and really good things of the world. And that in that you have compassion on us, you have grace, and that you meet us where we're at. So we ask that you do just that today. Would you meet us where we're at? Would you extend an invitation into abundance? And would we start to dream about what it would look like to be a more Jesus-looking person in our life? Thank you, Jesus. Amen. All right, so if you have your phones and like to read along, you can open up to Mark 14, or you can read along with the screen here. There are also Bibles outside, so if you don't have a Bible, feel free to snag one and bring it with you and spend some time learning and reading. But Mark 14, verses 3 through 9 reads, "While he was in Bethany, reclining at the table in the home of Simon the leper, a woman came with an alabaster jar of very expensive perfume made of pure nard. She broke the jar and she poured the perfume on his head." We're talking about Jesus here. Some of those present were saying indignantly to one another, "Why this waste of perfume? It could have been sold for more than a year's wages and the money given to the poor." And they rebuked her harshly. "Leave her alone," said Jesus. "Why are you bothering her? She has done a beautiful thing for me. The poor you will always have with you, and you can help them anytime you want, but you will not always have me. She did what she could. She poured the perfume on my body beforehand to prepare for my burial. Truly I tell you, wherever the gospel is preached throughout the world, what she has done will also be told in memory of her." So, like many stories where we see Jesus in the Bible, I get a little bit of a surprise, right? Jesus comes and kind of shakes up how we think that you respond and live and move in the world. And so in this story, I'm kind of on the disciples' side, right? When I offer up money or my time or my service or my love or my energy to something, typically I want to know that it's going for something good, right? That I'm like making the most of it, making the best of it. So we see here that this lady comes and anoints Jesus with this oil that was worth a lot of money. And the disciples ask, "What about all this waste?" Often I ask myself similar questions when I give. I think about, what about the waste? What about the risk? What about the sacrifice? What about the rules of how things are supposed to go? Shouldn't there just be enough food for everybody? Why do I have to give? Shouldn't there just be enough love to go around? Why do I have to extend myself? And ultimately, I think that the root of this question comes down to control. That when we invest in something, when we give to something, we want to have control over the outcome, right? Like these seniors that were down here that we have like invested our time and energy and love into, we have some expectations that they're gonna go and do good things in the world, or at least hopes, right? Or on mission trips, when we're praying for somebody, then we leave and we don't know what's gonna happen, but we have hope or expectation that God's gonna continue that work, continue to move in their life. But then there's also the flip side of these hopes and expectations too, right? I'm sure all of us in the room have maybe invested our time and love into somebody that maybe broke our heart and left. Maybe we've invested a bunch into a job or a career and we get laid off or told that our needs or our skills aren't needed anymore. Maybe you have worked really hard to get into a program and you get a denial letter. Sometimes we invest, we give, and we don't perceive anything good coming out of it. But I think that sometimes God transcends what we define good or bad, what we define as worth it or not worth it, which I think is what we see Jesus address here. These disciples said, "Was this actually really worth it?" And Jesus says, "Yes." And here's why. So we have to look a little bit at what was happening here in the greater story. First of all, we know that this perfume costed a lot of money, which is what threw the disciples off, right? They're like, we could have paid for a lot of food for people. We could have gotten medical help for people. We could have got houses and clothing for people. So they're thrown off by the fact that this was like a year's wages that was all gone like that. And then we see here that this woman was not invited to the party. She was not necessarily welcome at this table, yet she shows up and she inserts herself into this thing that's going on. And so even in that action, she's kind of risking her reputation, right? She's giving a lot. And then third, this action that she did, the sacrifice that she made, the statement that she made wasn't just like a passive, like, "Hey, Jesus, you're a cool guy." But it was like, "I'm going to show up and I'm going to turn all the heads in the room." This perfume, the smell would have like got everyone's attention, right? So they're all looking at, what is this lady doing, throwing all this expensive stuff on Jesus's head, on the floor, basically, right? As it's dripping off and overflowing. So that's the obvious stuff happening here. But then there's also some symbolic things happening too. First of all, it says that this was pure nard oil, which is why it was so expensive. And in this day, it was pretty normal to anoint guests or to use oil as something for like healing or medicine. But here, pure nard is actually used for devotion. So this lady was coming to Jesus and saying, "I am wholly and fully devoted to you because I recognize that you are God, Son, and that you are special and that you are worthy of being committed to." And then also, Jesus mentions here that the woman is anointing him for death, We know that the disciples like missed a lot, right? When Jesus was with them and teaching them and inviting them into the story God was writing. And here the disciples are also missing the fact that Jesus is about to go to the cross, right? And when Jesus goes to the cross, he makes the most abundant sacrifice that we could ever imagine. And in doing so, he provides for every single need that we would ever have. So the disciples here are saying, well, what about the hungry? What about the poor? What about the hurting? And Jesus and this woman know that she is preparing him to go and provide for all of those needs. That as Jesus goes to the cross, he is going to eternally flip the scales and invite us into a life of abundance instead. So Jesus is saying, don't worry about the small picture you're seeing here, but there's a bigger picture going on. So this tells me something important, right? Because what this lady did is she noticed Jesus, she noticed the goodness going on there, and she gave her best to that. And she did so in a way that was authentic to her, authentic to the gifts that she had, and authentic to the situation. So I know that when I give, when I experience joy, when I experience goodness, when I give to something that I see and acknowledge that is good, what does Jesus call her sacrifice here? He calls it beautiful. So when I give to Jesus of my best, instead of getting ridiculed, instead of getting taught a lesson, instead of other people questioning why I'm doing what I'm doing, Jesus steps in and he defends me and he says, what you're doing, what you're giving is beautiful. I'm a homeowner, and that is why I get to invite all of these students and parties and things into my house. So I like spend quite a bit of time keeping my house clean, keeping it cute, you know, like creating it to be a comfortable and homey space. And do you guys know what my house looks like after a bunch of teenagers leave it? It looks not so cute. It looks not so cozy and comfortable. And it doesn't always smell the best. But Jesus steps into that, right? And he says, this is what you've been given. So when you offer that back to me, when you invite me into that space, then I'm going to show up and be present in that. I also had a leader tell me last year that he started to get a little cynical of people my age. And so ever since he started showing up and giving of his time, giving of his best and his situation to our youth group, he said that he's starting to be a little bit like more encouraged and his perspective on young people has changed. So in his context, in what he sees his opportunity as, he shows up, he gives of his best, and then in return, God is reflecting and changing his situation and the way that he sees the world. And this is also why I give of my money, right? I give of my money, and I hope that the money that goes to buy the food for the mobile food pantry, that as people show up and they receive a physical need, that they're also seeing that the church is bigger than just like showing up, right, and listening to me talk. The church is bigger than the walls, but the church is actually this living and moving and breathing thing that is operating in abundance and providing for the really real needs in the world. So there's another quote from Richard Rohr, because he just kills it in this whole idea of abundance and scarcity. He says, great love, great suffering, and some form of contemplative practice are the usual paths that help me get my small, false self out of the way and become an open conduit for the gushing stream of abundant life that God always is and that believers always become. So I don't know about you guys, but the idea of being a gushing stream of abundance, being that kind of person, sounds like a good thing to me. Recently in my life, I actually had somebody come to me and say, I was like frantically running around, you know, and doing all the things. And a good friend stopped me and said, you need to breathe because people notice your energy. I stepped back for a second, I took a breath, and I was like, you are right. So that is an area where I was operating out of scarcity, right? I'm running around, I'm stressed, my mind is somewhere else, I'm like running all this energy out of this anxiety of like being all the things and doing all the stuff. And he paused and said, you need to pause. And so that's kind of a wake-up call for me, right? Of like, I am not living in a present place of this. I am not operating as an abundant person like God has called me to. And so one thing that I have challenged myself to do, which is going okay, to be honest, maybe you guys can help me, but I have challenged myself to just show up 10 minutes early places. Like if I want to be an abundant person that is available and present and operating out of God's goodness, what if I just showed up 10 minutes early? So rather than being a frantic, crazy person, I can like actually sit and welcome whatever God is doing in that situation. I think that when we operate, when we lean into abundance, we are saying, God, I trust you, and I believe that you're going to do good things with whatever it is that I'm offering you here. So how do we actually become an abundant person? Based off of what I think we see in this story, there's four little steps that we have here. The first one is that we look for God's goodness. So this lady had this offering to make, right? And what she did is she noticed this guy, Jesus, he is good and he's operating out of God's goodness. And I think there's something really special going on. So before she gave of anything, she looked around, she identified where she saw God, and that's where she decided to give her offering. The second step I think that we do is that we give intentionally. This woman didn't just happen to show up at this party. She didn't just happen to bring her best perfume, and she didn't just happen to pick Jesus, right? Because she noticed God's goodness, she intentionally said, this is where I'm going to give of my best. This is why I have my tithing set up to intentionally come out of my bank account every week at an intentional like amount. Because I know that as myself, I fall back into this operation of scarcity. And so if I just wait till the end of the month, there's not gonna be anything left. Or I'm gonna do that old thing where I would just like lock things up and keep it tight, you know, and hold it safe. So that's why I intentionally have that set up. If you guys are intentionally giving of your home, maybe intentionally open it, even on the weeks that things feel chaotic and crazy. And then whatever you give, do so in a way that is committed. This woman, it says in the passage that she came before Jesus and she broke the jar. There was like no going back from her sacrifice. There was no putting that oil back into her jar. She broke her jar and committed to her sacrifice for Jesus. So when we give, we can do it intentionally and we can also do it in a way that's committed, right? If you're mentoring someone and you're not seeing growth or change happen, maybe you commit to them a little longer and you hope that Jesus is going to do good things in that. Because one thing I know, even though we can't always control the way that the outcome comes when we give, what we do know is that God always multiplies goodness. If you think of the story where Jesus is out preaching and teaching in what they call a desolate place, right? There's not a lot of grocery stores or hotels around. And Jesus is out teaching people, and there's thousands and thousands of people coming to see him. And the disciples come to Jesus and they say, you should probably send these people away because we're not going to be able to take care of them. And what does Jesus do? He takes the sacrifice of a couple fish and a couple bread, and he multiplies it into abundance, and he feeds thousands of people. What I see in this story here is that God always takes goodness and he multiplies it. God takes something that's given to him and he says, your sacrifice is beautiful. And instead of sending people away because I live in scarcity, God says, I live in abundance and I'm going to use that in a way that always invites people to be closer and nearer to me. So we look for God's goodness, and that's where we intentionally and committedly give. And then finally, we set our mind and our heart in hope and expectation, because that's the kind of God that we serve and we get invited to live with. The same God that abundantly gives us birds outside or abundantly provides children for people that really, really want some. That God is the God that we get to partner with when we give and serve and move in abundance. So, do you guys remember where we started with my crafts? These nice little crafts down here. Because I held those things close, because I take those things as mine and I held them close and I locked them away somewhere, they never turned into like a beautiful necklace that my mom could show off and say, this was made for me. They never turned into a painting that I could give to my grandma to say, hey, I notice you and I love you and I celebrate you and I made this thing for you. All of those things that I held close, they didn't turn into anything beautiful because I didn't have the opportunity to share them, and I didn't give them to God in a way that he could multiply them and turn them into goodness. So I think that's really the invitation today, that whatever we get to give, that God will call it beautiful and he will create goodness out of it, whether that's something we see in our lifetime or something that God's working in eternity in his bigger picture that we miss out on sometimes. We don't get to call that. But we do get to notice God's beauty, and we do get to live in it and become more like him in it. So if you guys want to stand with me, we're going to spend some time praying. I think that we can talk all we want about goodness, about our world, about our crafts and our stories. But until we actually invite Jesus into that, it's really hard to change our hearts and our intentions and the way that we view the world around us. So there are a couple of things that I feel like God was highlighting for some ministry time today. The first is just that I think there are some people here that live in some like anxiety of like the same thing that I felt I had to do and still feel I have to do with like, I need to hold my things close. I need to keep everything safe. I can't trust other people with my stuff, with my time, my energy, my money. And that like creates some anxiety, right? Of like, you always have to keep tabs on things. I think that that full and real life that God invites us into, I don't think anxiety is his heart for that. So if you experience some anxiety with keeping your things safe or finances or anything like that, we would love to pray for you and ask God to bring some freedom into that. The second thing that I think that God wants to do today is just help us shift our perspective from this idea of scarcity to abundance. And so this really simple prayer that I've prayed throughout my life that is really easy but has done miracles in my life is, God, would you give me the eyes to see? So if there are people here today, maybe yourself, and you feel like all you see is scarcity. You see the lack of food places, you see scarcity around, and you just want to see God's abundance. Like you want to notice the birds and say, wow, God is so abundant. You want to notice things in your family and say, wow, God is so abundant. If you want that little perspective shift, then we would love to pray for you for that today as well. And lastly, this whole idea, this question that the disciples asked, was it worth it? Was the sacrifice worth it? And we feel like we're only looking at like the small picture and we want to see the bigger picture and say, God, I trust you that whatever I give is worth it and that in your eternal economy, you're bringing goodness forward. If that's something that resonates with you, we'd love to pray for you. Along with anything else, literally anything else can be going on in your life and we would be happy to stand with you and cheer for you and pray for you. But I'm going to pray for us right now. And then ministry team, you guys can start making your way down as well. And they'll be over here to pray with you guys. All right. So, Jesus, I just thank you for even just the gift of life that you've given each of us. That even waking up and putting on our clothes and getting out of our house, that in itself is a gift and an invitation into the beautiful story that you're writing. So for each and every one of us, would you just help to grow gratitude in our hearts? That you would open our eyes and our hearts to see all of the ways that you have blessed us. And would you help us to really just give of our best wherever we see and notice you? And would you multiply the goodness that we give you? Would you call the ways that we give beautiful? And would we be nearer to you in it? It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. Thanks for coming to Cloquet Vineyard, you guys. Have a good rest of your weekend.